You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
All right, this thing's tipping.
You know what? Again, that was the Damer DiPietro situation.
It's Damer and DiPietro, and
unlike the Buster only voicemail,
hey Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling.
I decided that was going to abort, and then I completely just ruined the whole read.
Well, tell us at least the genius behind what happened.
Well, I was going to get cute with it rather than just stick to the script, and then that's when things went awry.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
All right, this thing's tipping.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All the big 7 o'clock hour, DiPietro Rothenberg with you, presented as always by Progressive Insurance. I'm like a child. I know you guys think I'm immature, and I am. But I'm like a child. Every time I hear the gobbling of the turkeys, I laugh. Every single time, I think it's funny.
Gobble till you wobble.
Yeah, that makes me laugh every single time. The dolphin sound makes me laugh also.
See, I get terrified. Dolphin sound, get terrified.
You don't get terrified of the sound of the dolphin.
Yeah, flashbacks. That's the sound. Hang on.
Raymond, play the dolphin when you get a moment. And this is going to scare you?
That sound that dolphin made after it almost killed my wife.
Oh, my God. Was saying hello.
You didn't experience
it. It was just like, oh, hello.
It was like a torpedo. No, it didn't say hello. It came up from the murky under... murky ocean up and just boom, like a torpedo into her ribs.
It was just like, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
And then I panicked and swam away.
Oh, I
Not
love
my
that.
My finest day. Not my
and by
finest
the way,
day.
You're sitting here giving me, listen, if you're going to be a family man, this is how you have to act. And in a moment of strife, as things get really dark, you swim away as you claim your wife is under attack.
Yeah, fight or flight. I went flight. It's one of us had to survive it.
Oh, my God.
It's no good if we both go.
Yeah, but how about if you go, you attack the dolphin, and then you let her
see the dolphin. That was the problem. I couldn't see the dolphin.
So you just decided, you know what? Cass, hopefully I'll see you again. If not, I'm going to go.
I'm going to go get someone that can actually help, is what I was doing.
Oh, yeah. That's great. She'd be to Asia by the time you were done.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, that thing hit her hard.
You are some husband.
What am I supposed to do? I can't. How am I going
to
fight the dolphin?
I tell you what you're supposed to do. You get in the way, you push her, you let her swim, and you kind of like, you know, you make dolphin noises, and you swim in the other direction. You have that thing go after you. That's what you do.
What am I, Ace Ventura? Do you know the dolphin? Do you call him at home? Do you have a dorsal fin? No, I'm not going to talk to the dolphin. I couldn't see the dolphin. And she already took a hit.
Maybe you should have left the dolphin a voicemail.
I am talking to the dolphin.
Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling.
We're just going to keep playing that, aren't we?
Oh, forever. Really? Absolutely forever.
So you get a
forever.
Free moment, give me a call back. Look forward to hearing from you. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
So hey, Buster, bad. How you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling.
I could listen to it on a loop.
I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you. We love
That's
you.
The intervention portion of it. That right there... I don't know if it's something I did or something Dave did, but we love you. If Buster had some kind of a real problem, that's what you would say.
Yeah, if we wanted us as friends step in.
Right? Like if we were having an intervention, like a Michael Imperioli intervention on The Sopranos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christopher. And you sat down and it was me, it was a cow, it was his wife, it was his Titans fan son, it was you. You would say that. You would say exactly that.
Yeah, Buster, listen, as much as you love milking the cows, like this is too much. Like you're taking it too far.
It's too much. All right. Time for the Gangrene Report brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We started the show. We'll go back there now. 800-919-3776. Man, there's not a lot to feel great about with the Jets. And you said that I don't think none. I think you like Michael Carter. I think you like Elijah Moore. But watching yesterday, it continued to kind of resonate with me. Why is Mike White not playing in this game? And the truth is, you might know why, but I don't think the answer is effective. He should have played in that game yesterday.
No, it should make you mad, the reasons why he didn't play that game. And it had nothing to do with this vaunted Dolphins defense and their, you know, exotic blitzes. It had nothing to do with that. It was they didn't want Mike White to play in this game, play well and win, because now all of a sudden the fan base would be clamoring again to see Mike White play in Houston instead of Zach Wilson when he's healthy. That's what they were trying to avoid.
Well, they did well.
They did well.
Cause,
it worked.
Because you were competitive. Like you didn't win. And with 5 minutes to go in the game, you knew you weren't going to win. Yeah, you might. Maybe you should have, but when you're a bad team, this is what happens. And right now you're a worse team than the Dolphins. And Flacco was fine. Moore played well. Carter played well. And it wasn't an abomination. And hopefully you'll get to see Zach Wilson at quarterback this coming week. So I guess if you're Robert Saleh, if you're Joe Douglas, if you're the Johnson brothers, you got what you wanted? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think they got exactly what they wanted. They were competitive in a game they should have won. I'm sitting here going over the second half again. They should have won the game. They absolutely should have won the game. And missed field goals, stupid penalties. They should have won that game. They didn't.
But they're a lousy team. And that's
no,
the
I get it.
They're a lousy
like
football
the Dolphins
team.
Are this great team. The Dolphins are one of the most... This is no lie. One of the most disappointing teams in the NFL this season has been the Dolphins.
Dolphins, with the expectations. Washington. Yeah, I think it's fair.
So, I mean, yeah, their defense has played better, and these blitz schemes and everything else. Their quarterback's not very good. He's not. Tua is not very good. He's probably not going to be their quarterback next year. There are, in a season like the Jets are having right now, right? Two wins. They're not going anywhere. There are productive ways. There are productive losses. Right, you're losing with a purpose. Like the things you're going to lose, right? We get it. Like you're going to lose a lot of games, but at least in those losses, you're learning something about, you know, about your team, about different players, and everything else. Yesterday was an unproductive loss. I already liked Elijah. I already liked Elijah Moore. I already liked Michael Carter. I did not need to see Joe Flacco play quarterback yesterday. I did not.
Well, you got to see it. And what strikes me is so strange, and I know we've said it, but I can't get over it. You didn't need him. When you needed him, you didn't need him. And now that you really don't need him, now you're going to play him. It's a bad look for the Jets. And I don't, Saleh, Douglas, the Johnsons, whoever, it's a bad look for the Jets that you played Joe Flacco yesterday.
But that's why there's only one answer to the question. People keep asking the question, why did Joe Flacco play? There's only one answer. Is because they did not want Mike White to play and play well. That's the only answer. The only answer is that. Because you went into a season with Zach Wilson, Mike White, and James Morgan as your three quarterbacks. So you went in the season knowing Zach Wilson at some point is going to struggle or most likely get hurt and miss a week or weeks. And you felt good enough about Mike White to make him your backup quarterback. At some point he would play. That's without even knowing if he could play. Then he goes out and shows you he can play
yep.
at a high level, struggles one game against the best defense in the National Football League, and that was it. Now we need Joe Flacco.
Very short leash, and we're going to go to Joe Flacco. And
When the season is already over.
Oh, yeah. No, you're done. You're dreadful.
Like this wasn't like early on where it's, or even now where you've won some games and you're still in contention where, you know what, this would be a good time to play a veteran quarterback because we're still in this thing. There's still a chance, and he gives us the best chance to win. Your season's done.
No, the whole trade for him in the first place didn't make any sense. The whole way they have handled the quarterback situation, from Wilson to White to Flacco, for the trade to Flacco, from not having Flacco in the first place, has been horrendous. And that is the Gangrene Report, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. So a week ago, Rex Ryan on this very show was very upset with Robert Saleh. Very upset. Went after him, said, keep you know, my name out of your mouth when you talk about Robert Saleh, because he's just not the same coach as me. I'm a defensive-minded genius, and he is not. Apparently, they spoke this week, and water under the bridge. I mean, forget about that. Here is Rex yesterday from NFL Countdown about the conversation with the Jets head coach, Robert Saleh.
We ended up talking later in the week, and I got to tell you something. I was blown away by the guy. It reminded me, I had some differences with Tony Dungy. I reached out to him, talked to him, and I was blown away. I thought he was super smart and just, you know, he's got a direction for this football team. But I'm telling you, Jet fans, I mean, the more I talked to him, the more impressed I was with Robert Saleh. Like, I became a fan of his. And it's number one, you know, taking my call and all that speaks volumes about him. But it was way more about, we put that stuff behind us. But it's about the future of this team. And I'm just telling you something. This guy's got a great plan. And I think they got it right. I think they got the head coach right, that he's the right guy for the job. We just got to be patient. I believe the quarterback they got right. And that's what you got to have. You got to have a head coach. You got to have a quarterback. Yeah, there's some bumpy roads right now. There's no question it's going like this. But I truly believe that it's going to be smooth sailing. At some point, it's just win.
What I do not understand, and I will ask Rex when he joins us at 7:35, how you could excoriate the guy last Monday, speak with him, and now you believe the Jets are in great hands moving forward with this coach and this quarterback. I don't understand.
No, you do.
No, I don't.
No, you think it was Rex that decided he wanted to call Robert Saleh, or was Woody that picked up the phone and said, hey, Rex, you got to call Robert Saleh. We got to figure this out.
Well,
you're making us look bad here. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Why would he do that?
Why would Woody Johnson call Rex?
Why would Rex need to go out there and extend the olive branch with Robert Saleh?
I think Rex was asked to extend the olive branch to Robert Saleh. Do you not listen to me?
But why would he? I understand what you're saying, but why would he say, all right, yeah, let me go do that? He doesn't have an allegiance to anybody now. He's
so
not
Woody
trying to
Johnson,
get back in the
does.
Coaching game.
What do you mean? You don't think part of what Rex was doing to Robert Saleh was the hope in the back of his mind that maybe at some point Woody would bring him back? Woody has
no
a great
way.
Relationship with Rex.
Rex is not coaching again in this league.
Why else would he make that personal if he didn't think in the back of his mind or hope, as crazy as it would sound, that maybe, since now everyone feels great about Rex Ryan and we go back to all the warm, fuzzy Rex Ryan feelings, we haven't had a good coach or success since Rex Ryan, that Woody Johnson is crazy enough to rehire Rex? Stop.
You know what? Then you should find a new team.
That's the reason why Rex called Robert Saleh, and Robert Saleh took the call. For exactly what Rex just said on NFL Countdown.
So you think a week ago he's the worst thing you could be. Don't even say his name and my name in the same sentence. You have a conversation and now the Jets are, guys, all my concerns are alleviated because we had one good conversation?
That's what he wants you to believe, yeah.
All right. Well,
I want to tell Jets fans, because I'm a huge Jet fan, that you guys got it right. You got the coach and you got the quarterback. The two question marks we still have no idea about. Rex wants to assure us that the guy he just excoriated, it was in the quotes were all over the place, as he's not the answer, don't ever mention me and him in the same breath, is now, he's so smart, he's got a plan, this is the right guy moving forward.
Unless
he was asked to do that.
All right, well, maybe you're right that he was, but I look forward to talking to Rex at 7:35 this morning, because I'm sorry, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I'm going to ask him that right off the bat.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love
it.
Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
Want to let you know, DPHR Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, phone lines all lit up on the Twitter at Rothenberg ESPN. Let's go. Rapid fire. No introductions. No how you doing. Hope the weekend was great. None of it. No happy Thanksgivings. Not now. Let's get right to the calls. Shooter, Stanford. Shooter, you're on the frenzy.
How bad were those Dallas Cowboy receivers? No depth whatsoever.
Oh, what a great way. What a beautiful question. Yeah, they were terrible. They were absolutely terrible offensively, brutal. Rick, how many touchdowns did they score yesterday?
How many touchdowns did the Dallas Cowboys? I'm going to say zero touchdowns.
Yeah, zero touchdowns. Yeah, Dak getting picked off in the red zone. Just really a subpar performance from the fancy Dallas Cowboys. What was it? Mike McCarthy said this was a real litmus test for them this week, right?
Yeah, but they're banged up, though. I mean, having no I don't want to make excuses, but no Tyron Smith is a huge loss.
It is a big loss.
And now, God, I mean, if they don't have CeeDee Lamb, selfishly, this is not good for our Thanksgiving viewing pleasure.
Well, it makes it more delightful because you get the Raiders have a real chance to win this game now.
For you, but not. I mean, this is, I want to see some good football is what I want to see.
Tell you what, I will have an extra helping of stuffing if the Cowboys lose on Thanksgiving, and not just like a helping, an extra full plate of stuffing.
Give me a little cookie. May you go off on a complete bender.
Good. Let me bend all the way to Saturday. Yep. Beautiful. Let's go, Tony Massapequa. Tony, you're on the Frenzy.
Like that kind of party?
Since Miami hasn't been able to hit on a quarterback for 2 decades, and rather than paying 3 first-round picks for Watson, should they just be aggressive and go after Wilson or Rodgers and take a short thing for 2 or 3 years?
Well, I don't think Wilson's not a short thing for 2 or 3 years. I wouldn't go after Rodgers because you're going to try to win immediately, and I don't think they're there. Russell Wilson, I think that's very attractive, no?
Well, the age. I mean, Deshaun Watson's new deal is going to kick in this season. And when you look at the age, I mean, Deshaun Watson is right in the midst of his prime.
Well, what is he, 25, 26?
And it's still going to cost you to get – it's going to cost you draft picks to get Russell Wilson.
If you told me you wound up with Russell Wilson in your Miami, you wouldn't feel bad about that, though.
No, I wouldn't feel bad about it. But, I mean, there's other teams, too. Like, you don't think that Pittsburgh is going to be active?
Well, they have to be because he's done.
So, I mean, yeah. Listen, they're already willing to give up 3 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks to get Deshaun Watson.
Carolina, you know, is going to be active.
Carolina's going to be looking.
I don't know if Philly is sold on Jalen Hurts because they were obviously interested in Deshaun Watson at one point.
I like Jalen Hurts a lot. And he continues to get better.
I got to tell you, and it pains me to say it, Philadelphia is going to make the playoffs.
Philadelphia is not a bad team.
They're not a bad team. They're not.
Devontae Smith is a good wide receiver. They got a good solid. I mean, they're front.
Goddard is an excellent tight end. They have a couple of decent running backs. Hurts is very mobile. Good quarterback. They're not a bad team. That's why I wanted to take them against the K show on our picks. And they
look at you.
Hammered.
Look at us. Finally.
Hammered New Orleans. Ryan in the car. Ryan, Frenzy, go.
Do the Giants have any chance of winning tonight?
Yes. I think they got a chance.
Yep,
I mean, I do.
They have a chance. I don't think they'll win it, but they certainly have a chance.
Defense has played great.
No Antonio Brown, which is big.
No Antonio Brown. And then when you look at defensively what Tampa is, they're not the same team we saw at the end of last year. The secondary is all banged up. You'll be fully healthy. Getting Andrew Thomas back is huge.
Thomas, Barkley, Tony, all of them playing in this game. Galladay,
that's the other
all
one,
of
though.
Them.
That's the other big one, too, is having Tony back to as healthy as he's been in a while. Because he is dynamic, man.
Oh, he really looks like a special receiver when he's healthy and right. Trevor Manhattan. Trevor, you're on the Frenzy, bud.
After both number ones lose respectively in the conference this weekend, who can you say confidently will represent each conference in the Super Bowl?
I can't say I'm confident with anybody.
Confidently?
I'm not going to say that.
No, I would say this, though. I would say if I wasn't concerned now, like Aaron Rodgers telling me that his toe is worse than turf toe, that bothers me a little bit because that's only going to probably get worse. But their defense has been a lot better.
Not yesterday.
No, I know. But they should get better, though. I mean, they back end will get healthier. You still don't. I mean, you'll get Za'Darius Smith back.
Yep.
And then, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is. I know they lost yesterday, but the throws that guy makes.
He is great.
Insane.
He really is. I would say this. If you told me it's going to go through Green Bay, I would take the Packers to go to the Super Bowl. But I don't know that. And every time I think Arizona is kind of falling back, they have this wow performance.
Yeah, that's without Kyler Murray, too.
And Colt McCoy was sensational in that game. Frank in Spotswood. Frank, you're on the Frenzy.
Should the Packers be concerned about Rodgers' big toe, or do you think it's just more drama on his part?
I would be concerned. I mean, I think there's probably a little drama baked into that, but I would be a little concerned. I mean, he's your team.
Without him, you're absolutely nothing. Let's close it out with Rod on the Turnpike. Rod, you're on the Frenzy.
With the Cowboys losing, can the Eagles catch up in the division with them having the easiest remaining schedule?
I don't think so, no. No.
Jordan Renato doesn't think so. Jordan Renato laughed at that.
Yeah, that was an awkward laugh from Jordan. No. I don't think they can win the division, but I do think they have a good chance to get in. And they have they played the Giants twice. They played the Jets. They have an easy, easy schedule. All right, there you have it. Santi.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
A man that made a lot of news on this very show last week, one Rex Ryan. I hope you say something controversial this week, Rex. How you doing?
Hey, who knew? You know what I'm saying? When you speak the truth, things just happen. I don't know.
All right, so I love you. I think you're great. I think you're a great guest, but I don't understand, and I'd like for you to explain it to me. A week ago on this show, you had very negative things to say about Robert Saleh. You didn't think he was very good. You didn't like his name being mentioned when your name was mentioned, and you had negative things to say about him. You talked to him this week, and yesterday on NFL Countdown, you couldn't have spoken higher or more positive about this head coach. How does it go from where you were to where you are now with one phone conversation?
Well, no, I'm going to say this. Like, look, I'm not changing anything about what I say or what have you. However, when I talk to the guy, if you want me to lie and say that I wasn't impressed with them or, you know, all this, then I could. But that's not me. I speak the truth. And I was blown away by him. I'm just telling you. And that's the thing where it's like, I don't know Robert Saleh, but I can tell you one thing. The more I talk to him, the more I'm like, wow, like this dude, number one, this is a smart guy. Like, if you don't think that he's disappointed in how his defense is performing, you're wrong. Of course he is. But he also has a big picture view of, you know, okay, this is the issues that I'm having. You know, in my opinion, this issue's not going to be solved until the off season. I mean, they're going to need an off season to fix this defense. It's not coming. I don't see this defense making strides. Even, you know, last week or yesterday, they might have been better than they've been, but that ain't exactly the damn 85 Bears, you know. So, you know, there's some issues there. But the guy recognized that he knows what he needs, but he's got a vision for this team that I don't think any of us knew, like public-wise, because it wasn't really shared. He doesn't share his, you know, that vision or whatever with everybody, but I can assure you it's there. And when I talk to him, I'm like, damn, I hate to say this, but this, you know, I guess I was wanting him to be a jerk, but he was the exact opposite, man. Like, he's a hell of a guy, and he's smart, and I think he's on the right track. I mean, I do, and that's the thing that I'm excited being a Jet fan. Like, all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, oh, crap, we got the, you know, this doesn't look right. But at the same, once you talk to him, I'm like, damn, I can see it. Like, I can picture it. And being a Jet fan, all of a sudden I'm excited about it. So that's what I am. I'm telling you the truth. And we had a long conversation, spoke about a lot of different things. And, you know, and I've been in that chair that he's in. And I don't know if he took anything out of it, but it was good for me. And I wanted to share that with Jet fans that, hey, guys, hold up a little bit. I think we're going to be okay here. And I think that's what I wanted to say. And it's true. And look, it's hard to argue. And I said it before the game and all that. I'm like, look, this Elijah Moore, I think, is legit. Well, how did he play yesterday?
It was great.
Tore it up, right? The guard is legit. So that's a hit. Carter, the running back, that's a hit. They hit on three right there. The one that we don't know yet is the one that has to hit, and that's the quarterback. We're not going to know, and I'm hoping Saleh doesn't throw him in there, feel pressure to throw him in there when he's not healthy. And I don't think he will. Get him right, and when he does come back, now you put him in, and let's see some improvement from him the rest of the year. So whenever he's healthy, it's all about let's get him to where next year, all of a sudden, we've seen some, you know, where this kid, you know, the potential of this kid, and move forward. But that's the one, and I've said it from jump. I think that guy's the most talented quarterback the Jets have had since Joe Namath, and I'll stand by it. So, but again, that's the unknown. What we do know, they hit on the guard. All right. There's no question they hit on him. They hit on Elijah Moore. No question about it. And they hit on Carter. No question about it. You know, the running back. So, you know, that from that standpoint, pretty damn good shape.
Rex Ryan joins us here on the show. I'm just interested, Rex. What was the reason that you decided to pick up the phone and call Coach Saleh?
You know, I just thought that, look, I've been in that seat. And unlike anybody else that you can talk to, I've been in there. I was in that seat for 6 years. And I thought it was important that, look, and give him a chance. If he wants to, you know, to go off on me, I'll give you every opportunity to do it. And I remember I did the same thing with Tony Dungy. We had a little fallout. He had some comments, and I had reached out to Tony Dungy. And it's funny because, you know, Tony Dungy's a big Christian man and all that, and I never – and I'm a spiritual person, and I never felt good about being judged by him because of language I used. And I said, well, I'm going to be judged at some point by the same guy that's going to judge you, and I never appreciated it. And I called him and let him know that. And the great thing is, to his credit, I invited him out to a practice, and he came. And I'm going to tell you this, that's another dude I was blown away by. Like, oh, God, was he a good guy? Like, and smart, and the same thing. I'm like, golly, this kind of reminds me of when I talked to Dungy. So sometimes, I don't know what I was expecting, but what I got on the other end of that phone was a guy that, you know, number one, is a hell of a dude. And it was like, you know, He has a vision and a passion for this football team, and that's what I appreciated about it. And look, the fact he took my call, also, you know, I was like, yeah, that you know, all right, that's cool, you know, and you know, but again, I don't have to do anything, you know, I'm in the, you know, in a business, I'm not in the game or whatever, but. You know, I'm a man, 100%, and I'm like, you know, hey, let's get everything on the table.
I'm not sure why more coaches don't reach out to former coaches of the respective teams just to ask for advice, just to bounce stuff off. I mean, it's like I would use you as a resource if I got that job and I was you know, first year rookie head coach. Rex, so you mentioned,
and maybe he will now. You never know.
Yeah, hopefully you patch this thing up. But I mean, you mentioned his plan moving forward, and I mean, it's. I don't know if it's an obvious plan that Jets fans can see, but it feels like we're going to play a bunch of young guys. They'll learn on the job. We'll go through the ups and downs, a lot of losing, and then we'll be better for it We'll be better for it next year. You mentioned, you know, Vera Tucker, Elijah Moore, all the rookies running around on defense, and you learn from all the mistakes. So if that's the case, and it feels like that's what the case is, then why the hell are we – because it still makes no sense to me. I think I have an idea why they did it, but, I mean, I'm a humongous Jets fan. I had no interest in watching Joe Flacco play football yesterday, none. I don't get it. Like, why not use that as an opportunity? Like you can lose with a purpose. Like, I can lose and gain something from the loss. Like, why not see if Mike White's the real deal? Like, let's see him bounce back. He looked awful against Buffalo. Let's see if he can bounce back against a pretty good, not a. I don't think it's a great Miami defense, but a pretty good defense, and see what he looks like. See if he's a long-term, you know, backup for this team potentially.
Yeah, and I think, but when you look at it, and I get where that question's coming from, that. Hey, look, it's all about the young players playing the young guys. That ain't the vision I'm talking about, okay? So, again, there's way more to it than just I'm playing a bunch of young guys, all right? So I understand where he's coming from. Look, he had to hit the reset button. And it shows all the veteran players and everything else that, look, I'm still going to do what's in the best interest of this football team, trying to win games. Okay, and not just, you know, he owes that. I think he, you know, he's going to do that for the veteran players that are in there and trying to establish a culture of winning. Look, when I see this game, you know, was it a mistake for playing Joe Flacco? I didn't see it that way. If you guys think that Mike White is going to be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets moving forward, I think you're mistaken. I think the obvious starting quarterback is going to be Zach Wilson. We got to see him progress. If he was healthy, that would be a different story. But But I think that that's kind of where we're at. And, you know, I'm watching this game. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but I was impressed with the offense. The problem, though, is kind of shot, you know, the Jets shot themselves in the foot when they had seven times they were in scoring range, right? You know, we already saw, you know, the two missed field goals, all those type of things. But seven times they were in scoring range, and they only came away with 17 points. So that's something where the offense needs to improve on. The defense has to steadily get better. We know it's still a ways to go, but they just got to keep you know, laying it out there, working their butts off. You know, they had the big penalty on the defensive end that hurt them bad. But keep working, and it's a work in progress, and get better as the season goes on. I think that's important. And then obviously that defense is not going to get fixed until the off season. We understand that, right? Like, I'm looking at this defense and I'm like, it ain't going to take that quantum leap until next year. And then let's see where this defense goes.
Rex Ryan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Rex, enough time on the Jets. Let's turn our attention to the Monday night game tonight. Oh, that's the Giants. They're going to be healthier. Barkley's going to play, it sounds like. Galladay, Tony, Andrew Thomas, Jones. Do you give the Giants a chance to win this game tonight?
Oh, hell yeah. And this is the one we need to, you know, Giants need to win this game. They need to win this game to have a chance. And look, I mean, you're right. Now, we're going to be all upset if they don't, they, you know, that they're not in the middle of this game, because they should absolutely have a chance. And I'm excited to watch this one. I want to see Daniel Jones. I want to see Daniel Jones finally have his targets. You know, I know what Shepard's probably not going to play, but right. Other than that, you got a healthy Ingram, a healthy Barkley, a healthy, you know, Kadarius Toney, and Slayton. So let's go. Let's see what the heck happens. And if we can protect them, you know, you mentioned the big left tackle coming back. If we can, you know, if the Giants can protect him, this dude's got a chance to carve up that Tampa Bay defense. This is not the Tampa defense we saw in the Super Bowl. So that's why I think the Giants 100% have a chance in this game.
Rex, before we let you go, the floor is yours. Anybody you want to go after, take shots at, try to make some
news? Man, I'll go after anybody that I can help. If it'll help, then I'll go after somebody. no, who do you guys want me to go after? I'll do it.
I don't know. Is there anybody on the plate that you'd like to go after? Dak Prescott, the Cowboys,
One guy I'm definitely not going after is that big steward or whatever that LeBron went after. That's not going to happen. I'm not going after that dude.
Yeah, he was terrifying. That reaction was absolutely terrifying. Rex,
oh, my God, beast. Listen,
we appreciate it. We'll do it again next Monday. Have a great, safe, happy Thanksgiving with your family, and we really appreciate you coming on with us every week.
All right, same to you guys.
Thank you. That, of course, is Rex Ryan, who now he's a big fan of Robert Saleh.
No, that's the worst, though, when you call somebody and you're hoping that they're a jerk, but they're actually a good dude. But I can't imagine. Like, I mean, the Tony Dungy example he brings up, that was Dungy criticized him, and he picked up the phone and called Tony Dungy.
Because he was annoyed at Dungy, right?
Exactly right. This wasn't Robert Saleh didn't pick up the phone and call Rex. I believe that someone got in Rex's ear and Rex made the phone call. And now he was pleasantly surprised with how the phone call happened. I just don't understand why more head coaches don't do that, though. Like, I would be reaching out. I would use all those guys to ask questions.
But Robert Saleh's not going to call Rex and say, listen, you hate me. You think I'm awful. Can you help me?
No, I'm saying
just when you get the job doing that?
Yeah, exactly right. Like, it's usually why most rookie head coaches have somebody, a coordinator or two on their staff that have been head coaches in the league, because there's so much to deal. Like, listen, like, honestly, doing the NHL stuff with Torts on Fridays, like, and him explaining the amount of stuff that the head coach does that's not coaching, he's like, you barely get the coach.
Yeah,
he's
they
like,
got a lot on their plate, huh?
There's so much, like, all the things he's got to do with media, and he's like, I barely get a chance to coach. So my assistant coaches are that much more important. And then as far as the long-term plan and everything else, you can tell me what you want. I mean, that you saw how the guys in that locker room reacted to Mike White. Do you tell me that just one game against that Buffalo Bills defense was enough for them to just completely...
Right. Now a guy that you love, and there's discussion of, hey, if he's the better quarterback, we'll play this guy. He has one bad game, and now he's persona non grata. Now he can't even get out there on the field against a vaunted Miami defense. I agree with you. He should have been the quarterback this week. Now, you can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com and do that today. And this has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. Let's go to Anthony in Belmore. Anthony, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
How are you, my friend? Thank
good.
You for taking my phone call. I called up early in the season before the football season started, and I basically said the Jets are a mush franchise. You guys laughed at me. Why am I even a Jet fan? Because I like football, and I have to follow somebody. But they're mushed. They're never going to win a Super Bowl. They're never going to win anything. As long as they play in New Jersey, even the announcers say, welcome to Giant Stadium. We are the laughing stock of
It's not even
football.
Giant Stadium anymore, Anthony. It's MetLife Stadium.
Exactly. And even the announcers say Giant Stadium. It's a joke.
It's a bad stadium,
and then
too.
And you have a guy like Rex Ryan on your show. That's even a bigger joke. Why don't you ask him about Sanchez's tattoo? I mean, this is like a joke. Seriously? A joke.
Well, I think, I mean, Rex, of all people, has pretty good insight into to the Jets, I would imagine.
Well, you know what? We say they're cursed. No, they're not cursed.
No, they've
been a
run.
Poorly run franchise is what they've been.
Yeah, now listen, it could happen. I mean, the Giants are going through the same thing right now. They've been a hot mess.
Yeah, and the Giants are not cursed. When you make bad decision after bad decision, you're bad. You know, maybe you're incapable. But stop with that. They're cursed. Give me a break.
No, they're poorly run.
Poorly run.
Awful decisions.
Right. Ownership has made some bad decisions. They've had bad coaches, right? They've drafted poorly. They've taken quarterbacks that they thought were good that haven't turned out to be good. That's not being cursed. That's being bad is what it is.
No, it's being awful at what you do. And for some reason, the Johnsons feel like that they're equipped to make these kind of decisions when clearly they're not.
Well, we'll see if Joe Douglas is.
Like Chris Johnson had zero right making the decision to hire Adam Gase in that moment.
Oh,
never done the job
in
his entire life. And you're talking about one of the most important coaching hires you'd have in the history of the franchise to go along with the quarterback you just drafted third overall.
Well, how about giving John Idzik
the reins? Adam Gase.
Right? You give John Idzik the reins. Then you hire Joe Douglas after Mike Maccagnan has run a huge offseason? That's not cursed.
That's stupidity is what it is.
Stupidity is what it is.
It's exactly right.
Quickly, before you get to Santy's three stars, everyone seems to give the Giants a real chance in this game tonight. Do you?
I do. I hate to say that because I would love nothing more for the Tampa to win and you lose the survivor bet, but I mean this Bucs defense especially is not what you saw at the end of last season. Secondary is banged up. I mean, they're going to be highly motivated. I mean, the fact that the coach called them stupid and Tom Brady was as pissed as he was.
Oh, he was furious.
That's what kind of plays in. Yeah, I think ultimately Tampa wins. But I mean, if you're a Giants fan, you should be excited. I mean, your team's finally healthy. Get Andrew Thomas back. Get Saquon Barkley back healthy. I think Tony being back as close to 100% as he's been in a long time is humongous.
How good would it be for just the show and for me if the Giants win this game tonight? For the show tomorrow morning?
No, I think it'd be great. But now all of a sudden they're in the conversation, though. Look at the bottom of the NFC.
And look at the teams you play, right? You get Philly twice, so you can make some noise against them. You get Washington. You get Miami. You have some games that you could win. Now, I don't think they win tonight, but if they do, look out tomorrow.
And don't pretend, by the way, what? Like if John Merrick called you and said, hey, Dave, you're big time, you're a voice of the Giants fan. I need you to call Joe Judge, speak with him, and then tell everybody on the radio how much you love Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman that you wouldn't do it.
Of course, I'd oil up Joe Judge and make the call. Of course I would. All right, Santy, three stars.
Today's three stars.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I'm going to surpass you, the thought of you oiling up Joe Judge, unfortunately.
Right there. Right there. Where do you want to right there.
Right there.
There. Right there.
I really wanted to
that glute right there.
I really wanted to make number three Barkley because the poor dog keeps vomiting and causing you torment. But then
he
vomited
up rope.
That you know what? That's that's Sherry's problem, not yours, and unfortunately, so I can't really make too much light of it. So,
number three.
I'll give it to our picks because apparently for the first time since the season started, we actually made up ground on the K-Show with a win this
week.
That's
right, baby.
Congratulations to us.
Yep.
Number two.
This one's actually going to go to Readmaster Ricky Rose because I've been told this is a career-high 7 reads in one show. Almost was flawless except for...
All right, this Thanksgiving.
But I mean, otherwise, I mean, you were perfect. So
you know what?
Be proud. Take a bow.
You got the little blip out of the way and then you were phenomenal.
Number one.
And number one, I mean, Rex and Salah, they made peace. What else can I say about it? I mean, you seem skeptical about it, but I believe in Rex
Ryan.
It's
Thanksgiving.
So
I don't understand. It does not make sense to me. How last week he destroyed him. He has a conversation, and now he thinks he's
great. He was asked by Woody Johnson to make the phone call. I'm telling you right now.
Was he asked by Woody Johnson to come out with this?
Yes.
You know, this guy is incredible.
Yes. Do us a solid, please.
All right.
Because the Jets fan is losing patience.
Yeah, I understand that. Let's bring in just moments. It's KJM here on 98.7 ESPN. We have Max. We have Jay Will. Guys, there's a lot to get into today. The Jets, at least they were somewhat competitive yesterday. But Max, our Giants tonight on Monday Night Football on ESPN.
It's so interesting because, like, what do they do here? Like, you think beat the Bucs and Tom Brady. You got to get pressure on Brady, but that's not really the way the Giants are designed. You know, also, like, no Blake Martinez for a while now. They're banged up. So what do you do? How do you beat the Bucks? And the more I think about it, guys, the more I think you have to try to win a shootout. Like, doesn't that sound insane? But, like, how are you going to really stop the way the Giants defense, and the Giants defense have been playing better, but they're not a get pressure on the quarterback kind of defense. They may have to win a shootout here.
Well, look, guys, I'll say first off, for our Giants, and both Max and I are Giants fans, I'm glad that we're finally healthy. I think that's a great starting point, but the Bucs' run defense is incredible, right? So their Achilles heel is their secondary. So utilizing screens, quick games, Barkley, Ingram, Sterling Shepard, you talk about Kadarius Toney. You have to be able to attack their secondary. If we're able to do that, which is a huge infringement upon Daniel Jones to be that guy for this team, we will have a fighting chance.
Yeah, guys, I was even thinking about, like, you know, you want to get pressure on Brady and control the clock, but Saquon is not a control the clock kind of back, right? And the defense, while it's good, is not a pressure the quarterback kind of defense. The more I think about it, the more I think, shoot it out. Take puncher's chance.
But here's the thing. The Giants, you say that, and on paper, yeah, maybe they can't. But they don't score more than 30 points.
No,
I don't think offensively they put up 30 points in a game in years. So, yes, you have Toney, and you have Barkley, and you have Thomas, and you have Jones. But realistically, Max, you think the Giants are going to win a game 34-31?
Well, I don't think the Giants are going to win the game. But yes, if they're going to win, I could see a score like that. Yep. Daniel Jones is talented. He can run. He can throw. He has targets. And the Giants offense, you just mentioned some names. When the Giants offense is healthy, they have dynamism, right? They got dynamic weapons. So I hear what you're saying. History says pressure Brady, control the clock. But what I see in terms of the facts on the field tell me the score that you just said may be the path to victory.
Jay, while we have you, what did you think about the LeBron James punch, slow, whatever you want to call it?
Please say it was dirty. Please,
you guys, didn't want me to talk about the Knicks losing to my Bulls last night?
No,
you guys don't
want to. No,
please not.
Yeah?
No.
Okay,
no.
Tough stretch coming up for you boys.
You're not a person.
It's all from love, man. Look, LeBron James is not a dirty player, but come on, man, that was a dirty play. And in basketball, guys, the ball was already in the hoop. And I get it that Stewart had him a little bit off balance. But when you're boxing out, jostling for position, your hands are typically around the rib cage or the waist. They're not coming across the face. When it's a closed fist across the face, that should be a suspension for 1 to 2 games. I would say
in
two
the
game
face.
Suspension.
In the face.
Suspension,
man.
Have a great show. Of course, you've been on for a couple hours, but we will tune in here on 98.7 ESPN, and we will talk to you. If the Giants win, I will be so happy tomorrow morning. We will sing Kumbaya together on the show.
Yeah.
All right, boys.
Rick,
all right,
Dave, thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. All right, Rick, it's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg. And
how about them Cowboys?
You're such a bad guy on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.